Okay, this is attempt number two to record this dollop. I did record it before in the car, but it was terrible. There's just lots of rumble sound. So unfortunately, I recorded it in the car with Sean. It was quite good. We had a bit of banter going and things, and Sean was in absolute hysterical laughter at the quality of the jokes in this particular dollop. He nearly crashed the car. Fortunately, he didn't. We're at the airport now. And I'm recording this again because there was too much rumble. And apologies if there are a few more mistakes in the reading of this than usual. I don't know if I'm going to have time to edit this. There is Dilly Digital Dollop. Dollop 68 pre-flight announcements. Yes, I know, a very poor title, but after half an hour of thinking, I couldn't think of anything better. Feel free to suggest one if you can think of one. It's 5 o'clock in the morning, and Sean and I are in the young'un's van heading to Heathrow Airport. I always get a mounting sense of paranoia towards flight departure time regarding my passport. I definitely have it. I've checked multiple times, yet this doesn't seem to temper my paranoia for long, as I then have to check my bag a few minutes later. This paranoia is most likely due to previous passport-related dramas that I've either experienced or know about from other people. Apologies for the alarm sound. No idea what's going on. I think there's some sort of terrorist attack or something and the place has been evacuated, but I really must get this dollop uploaded, so I'm just going to risk my life for you. In 2007, a sea shanty group from Teesside, which Sean and I were in at the time, were booked to perform at a festival in Norway. The journey began with Sean and I getting on the first bus to Hartlepool, to Middlesbrough, at 6 a.m. A journey that would take less than 20 minutes in a car, but takes just over an hour on a bus. At 7 a.m, we arrived in Middlesbrough, where we were picked up by one of the other group members. We got into the car and drove a couple of more destinations in Middlesbrough to pick up some more people. We then began our journey to Manchester Airport. 5 minutes into the journey, someone jokingly said, "Just make sure that we've all got our passports, shall we?" I was 100% convinced that I had remembered. After all, I am not an idiot. But since everyone was getting their passports out and checking, I got mine out too. And indeed, as I already knew, it was there. As I said, I'm not an idiot. Or, in other words, I'm not Michael Hughes. But more on that story a little bit later. I pulled out my passport, which happened to open onto one of the pages. It was then that it all unraveled. Sean noticed the expiry date written on the passport. My passport was over a year out of date. There was no point in continuing the journey. I was driven back to Middlesbrough bus station, said goodbye to the others, who recommenced their trip to Norway without me, while I waited at the bus stand for nearly half an hour for the next arrival. Let me just put this into perspective now. I have now been joined by someone sitting next to me, so it may be a little bit intimidating to hear me just talking into a microphone. It doesn't seem too intimidating. I mean, they've joined me. They can actively see the fact that there is a tripod set up. And that kind of thing. You might be able to hear a little bit of their conversation, two people who've sat next to me. If you're not enjoying this, then maybe listen in the left speaker. Actually, it's in mono, so it won't make a difference. But you might be able to hear a little bit of their conversation anyway. Maybe you find that more interesting than what I'm talking about. But I'll continue with my story, and you can make that choice yourself. So I then had to wait at the bus stand for nearly half an hour for the next 36 bus to take me back to Hartlepool. I then got back on the same bus that I'd been on just an hour earlier. And when I say the same bus, that is precisely what I mean, because I also had the exact same driver who had taken me the opposite direction an hour before, who was rather amused to see me back on the bus with my suitcase and to hear about my plight. I arrived back at home just over an hour later. I'd set off from my house at about 6 a.m, and rather than it being a journey to Norway, it was a round trip taking in such sights as the 36 bus, Middlesbrough's bus station, and I was back at about 9 a.m. I then had some breakfast and headed to the post office, where I'd gone less than 24 hours earlier in order to change some British money into euros. Less than 24 hours later, they were back into pounds, although with a few pounds lost due to the exchange rates. But at least I didn't forget my passport. Only an idiot would do that. In 2008, the young'un's very own Michael Hughes was at Heathrow Airport, heading to Singapore for a couple of weeks, a much more lengthy and more expensive journey than my 3 days in Norway. Upon arriving at the airport check-in area, he realised that he'd forgotten his passport. In fairness, at least he then had the presence of mind to formulate a plan. He called his mother and arranged for her to fly from Teesside to Heathrow Airport. If she was going to make it in time, she would have to leave the house immediately and time every traffic light perfectly. So out of the house, she figuratively flew, and then into Heathrow Airport, she literally flew. She didn't actually see Michael, because he'd already been whisked into a special area, which he was being held in. His mother was unable to get to that place. So she had to hand the passport to a member of security staff. Michael's mother then got straight back on the next plane to Teesside. A member of security staff then brought the passport to Michael, who hastily went through the rest of the checks in order to board the plane just in the nick of time. Except then they found the drugs. Obviously, that's not true. That's a hilarious punchline. At that point, Sean nearly crashed the car. That's how funny that was. There is a couple of people sitting next to me now who I don't even think English is their first language, but yet they were aware of the hilarity of that joke. It is so innately obvious how brilliant that joke was. I hope my ability to influence events with this blog doesn't prove true today, given that yesterday I wrote about crashing into the Indian Ocean. But my main concern is that my airport anal cavity search dream doesn't come true that I wrote about in January. I can tell you now, it doesn't come true. I've not had an anal cavity search yet. There might be a last minute one that happens, but so far, no anal cavity search. If it does come true, then maybe I could get Sean to film the experience, and I could do a digital dollop while someone has their hand up my arse. I don't know whether that would be a ratings booster or a ratings crippler. I suppose it depends on how many friends you've got, Chloe. Oh, Sean.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Gurley. Yeah, absolutely fine. Nearly done. And you've just been to get some food. What food have you got?
Ham and cheese croissant.
Ham and cheese croissant.
Have you recorded it again?
I'm having to record it again just because the other one was terrible. Unfortunately, it misses out all your hilarious lines. So we should arrive at the airport at about 8:30. We actually arrived just after 9 o'clock. Benefit of hindsight, ladies and gentlemen, that the readers don't get.
The early one, are we going to miss all that?
Yeah, we're going to miss that, unfortunately. I mean, I could maybe transcribe your lines and add them retrospectively. We then have to go through all of the various checks, which we've done, which hopefully doesn't involve an anal cavity search. It didn't. Our flight is at 12, and so I am counting on having an hour to record and publish the audio version, providing that there is Wi-Fi. Apparently, Sean, there is Wi-Fi. He's already got emails through, so that's good. So this should be absolutely fine. I don't know why I'm telling you that, because you're listening to this, so you know that it is. I will then get on the plane, and I'll be on the plane for 22 hours. Tomorrow's dollop will probably be written and maybe even recorded on the plane. Depends whether they have plug sockets on the plane or not, because my battery's more and more or less running out. It's not sort of retrospective commentary here that you're getting. It's all very unpredictable and hopefully exciting, rather than just coming across to you as boring logistical talk. I think that it will be more interesting for the listeners to the audio dollop. Look at you, given
certainly
the variety.
The people sat around.
Exactly, given the variety of locations that I'm going to try and record these from, hence an airport with other people sitting around me. I'm not sure how practical it's going to be recording from an airport. It's been all right. A few alarms going off and that kind of thing. And I think a plane might be rather awkward. Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be difficult to do. Well, I might do it when we get to Australia. But anyway, don't worry. I'll be home from Australia in a month's time, and we'll get back to providing you with your favourite subjects, such as my trips to Sainsbury's and anecdotes about my kettle. I delivered that a lot better in the van, didn't I, Mr. Kearney, that joke? But never mind. But I did, but never mind. But for now, you'll just have to put up with hearing about my adventures down under, which most certainly do not involve inappropriate vegetable-based activity. For the people sitting next to me, that's a reference to a blog from about 7 days ago. Onwards and upwards, and then hopefully downwards and onwards again. Thank you very much for listening. Hopefully we'll be back tomorrow, not in the Indian Ocean. Goodbye.